I want to read two portions this morning from Exodus, the book of Exodus, chapter 5, verse 1 to 4, and then some verses in chapter 6. Exodus chapter 5, verse number 1. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And they said, "The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with sword." The king of Egypt said unto them, "Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens?" Chapter 6, 1 to 8. Then the Lord said unto Moses, "Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of this land." God spake unto Moses and said unto him, "I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel from the Egyptians kept in bondage, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for a heritage. I am the Lord." Ending there at verse number 8. And we know that God will bless the reading of his word. We're doing this little series entitled Messages on Moses. And we're looking at this man that God raised up and set apart to lead his people out of bondage in Egypt, and to lead them through the wilderness on towards the land of Canaan, the land of promise, of which, of course, Moses himself did not reach. God finished his work just before they went in to the land of promise. And as we've looked at this mighty man that God used in a day gone by, we started off and we saw Moses as a child. You remember there was a Hebrew couple called Amrab and Jochebed, and they had a baby boy, and it was a dangerous time in Egypt because Pharaoh saw that the children of Israel multiplied and became greater than the Egyptians, and he told the midwives to kill all the boys that were born. Do you remember how that Jochebed hid Moses for the first 3 months of his life, and then she made an ark of bulrushes, put him by the river brink, and led him there? And my, under the sovereignty of God, the princess of Egypt, Pharaoh's daughter, came, and she found Moses and took him to herself. And with the help of his own mother, my Moses was reared and then became part of the royal court in Egypt. He became the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And there he lived in the palace. But you know, friends, there came a momentous moment in the life of Moses, because when he was about 40 years of age, It tells us that Moses decided that he would no longer be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses' mother didn't waste time when she had the privilege of looking after him. I believe that she taught him that he was a Hebrew. She taught him, my, all these things. And when Moses, my, came to a particular age, he decided he would no longer become the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but that he would take a stand with the people of God. And we find Moses, my God, taking him down to the backside of the desert, where he married one of Jethro's daughter and looked after the sheep. And there God was preparing him for future service. Do you remember in the last message, we saw Moses at the burning bush. As he came down the mountain, he saw this bush that burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And you remember how God spoke to Moses out of the bush and revealed himself to Moses. And my, Moses saw the greatness and the might and the glory of God. And God was preparing Moses for that moment that had almost arrived. And now we see Moses now here in chapter 3 of Exodus, and we see him as the reluctant servant. Verse 10 says, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bringest forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. God was sending Moses to call him, to serve him. This was God's call. This was God's will. God was showing Moses what his will was for his life. And we see not only God sending Moses to serve him, but we find Moses making excuses, and we see God listening to Moses' excuses. Because he says in verse 11, who am I? My, who am I that I would go and do this? He says in verse 13, down at the end of the verse, what shall I say? When you come in to chapter 4 and verse 1, he says, you know, when I go to the people, they will not believe. He says in verse 10, I am not eloquent enough, I am not able. And God was listening now to Moses' excuses. He was a reluctant servant. I wonder, friends, this morning, are you a reluctant servant? Maybe God has a work for you to do. Maybe you've been asked to fulfill a post or take on a responsibility, and you're reluctant about it. My dear friends, that was not what Moses was like. He was reluctant. He was making excuses. We're all good at times at making excuses. We see God sending Moses to serve him. We see God listening to Moses' excuses. And then we see God equipping Moses to serve him, because God gave this reluctant servant a promise. In verse 12, he gave him a message, he gave him power, and he gave him a helper by the name of Aaron. And now we see Moses and Aaron coming before Pharaoh to ask them to let God's people go so that they might serve him as God so wished. Now, in this message this morning, we want to look at three things concerning Moses. We want to see Moses facing the foe. And then we want to see Moses proclaiming the plagues or pronouncing the plagues. And then thirdly, Moses confronting the compromises. We'll see how far we get on and how much we get through it, but that's what we want to think about this morning. First of all, Moses facing the foe. Tells us here that Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Of course, Pharaoh was the foe. Pharaoh was looked upon as a god in Egypt. He held the Israelites in bondage. They were slaves. The time had come when God wanted his people. God wanted his people to be brought out of bondage so that they might serve him. And as Moses and Aaron step into the palace, they're facing the foe. And it says, they said, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go." And the response comes immediately. Pharaoh didn't think too long about it. He says, "And who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go?" He treats this request with contempt. He says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" And immediately you can see that Moses and Pharaoh are on collision course. This is a confrontation between Pharaoh, who was the god of Egypt, and Moses, who was the man of God, or the servant of God. And you know, friends, when I apply that this morning, when a person comes to Christ, when they come to know Christ, they realize before very long that they're on a collision course with the devil. Because everything about their new life is different from their old life. They find out that the ways of the Lord are completely opposite to the ways of the world. And from day one, they're in a spiritual warfare. They're in a continual conflict each day with the world, with the flesh, and with the devil. And if you haven't experienced that, if you've never experienced what I'm talking about here this morning, then you need to ask yourself some very personal and important questions. You need to ask yourself, do I know the Lord at all? You need to ask yourself, am I really saved? If there's no difference, if there's no warfare, if there's no opposition, my word, do I stand? The believer, the child of God who truly follows the Lord, will face the foe. He'll face the foe. Now let's see how Moses faced the foe, so that we can learn from this. He faced the foe, first of all, with the word of God. He said, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." He came as the servant of God with the message of God. "Thus saith the Lord." He didn't come with his own words of wisdom. He didn't come with his own ideology. He came with God's word. Man, when the Lord Jesus Christ, he faced the foe. He faced the foe in the wilderness after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights when he was at his absolute weakness. And Satan came and tempted him. And you remember there were three temptations, and every time Satan tempted him, Jesus answered him with the word of the Lord. In the first temptation, when he said, "Command that these stones be made bread," Christ said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." When he took him up into the temple and told him to throw himself down and the angels would catch him up and look after him, again, Christ answered him from the word of God. And in the whole three temptations, he said, "It is written." And then it says, then Satan leaveth him. He defeated him and faced the foe with the word of God. And brethren and sisters, this morning, the devil will come against us. We're in a spiritual warfare. That's what the Christian life is. It's a warfare. Paul uses the language of warfare right throughout his epistles. He talks of us as soldiers. He speaks of the weapons of our warfare. He talks about putting on the whole armor of God. He talks about the conflict, and we need to realize that. And you know, Satan will come to discourage you. Sometimes God's people get discouraged. Sometimes I get discouraged. You get discouraged. We're all made of the same stuff. We're human beings. We've all weaknesses. He'll come to deceive you. He'll seek to destroy your testimony. It only needs one loss of temper, or one loose word, or one wrong deed. And the testimony that you've built up over the years, it can be all shattered just in a moment. He'll come to disrupt the work. Satan wants to bring havoc into churches, into the companies of God's people. That's the kind of work that he's engaged in. And I trust that you're not helping him this morning. You come to defy the word. He comes to hinder. He comes to oppose. He comes to resist. Dear friends, when we face the foe, we need to face him with the word of God. Thus saith the Lord, because that's how we can defeat him. Moses faced the foe with the word of God. We find this out, that he faced the foe in the power of God. In chapter 6, verse 3, it reads, "And I appeared unto Abram and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known unto them." My Moses was facing the foe in the name of God Almighty. The power of God Almighty was at his disposal. My dear friends, he wasn't facing the foe in his own strength. It was in the name he came before Pharaoh, in the name of Jehovah, in the name of God Almighty. When we face the foe, my dear friends, we face him not in our own strength, because in our own strength we're no match for the foe, but we come in God's strength, because John says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Why, isn't that a mighty verse? The Holy Spirit dwells within every believer, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Praise the Lord for that this morning. Yes, he faced the foe with the word of God, and he faced the foe in the power of God. And you know, he faced the foe with the promises of God. Notice in chapter 6, from verse 6 to 8, the I wills. Says here in chapter 6, verse 6, "Wherefore saith the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm." In verse 7, "I will take you to me for the people. I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God." In verse 8, "And I will bring you in unto the land concerning that which I did swear to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I will give to you for a heritage. I am the Lord." Dear friends, Moses faced Pharaoh with the promises of God. And Satan will seek to bring doubts into your heart and into your mind, and fears and concerns and pressure into your life. But we can face him with the promises of God. Man, when you're so low down and you feel low and you feel defeated and you wonder what life's all about and you feel like giving up, man, you've that feeling of despair. It's then we need to lay hold on the promises of God and remember that he has said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," that he is with us, that he has made available his power, that he will provide our need, that he will be our helper and our refuge, a very present help in trouble. Dear friends,
as we face the foe in the Christian life, we need to face him with the Word of God in our heart, and we need to face him with the power of God in our life and with the promises of God in our mind. And he faced the foe with faith in God. Because away over in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith that Moses feared not Egypt, the wrath of the king in Egypt, as seeing him who is invisible. Moses is in the great champions of faith. And he knew that God's promises would not fail. He knew that God had called him and that God was with him. God was for him. Dear friends, as we seek to live for God, as we seek to serve the Lord, and the more you seek to live for God, and the more you seek to serve the Lord, and the more you seek to give of yourself to God, then the more opposition and the more hindrance you'll have from the foe. We all must face the foe every day. There's never a day that we get rest. We all must face the foe. We see here Moses facing the foe. We see him now as the obedient servant. He was a reluctant servant. And now we see him as an obedient servant going at God's command, and we see him facing the foe. We see Moses pronouncing the plagues. God's command to Moses, or to Pharaoh, was let my people go. And of course, Pharaoh defies and commands and saying, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? God was going to let Pharaoh see who he was. 10 plagues came upon the land of Egypt. And they were God's judgments. And you know, there was a direct attack upon a god in Egypt. God was confronting the gods of Egypt. And he was letting them see that he was greater and more powerful than any god they had in Egypt. And we see here the plagues that were brought upon the land, from water to blood. The frogs in chapter 8, the lice in chapter 8, the flies in chapter 8, the murine on the cattle, the boils in chapter 9, and the hail and the fire, and the locusts, and darkness in chapter 10, and death upon the firstborn. I haven't time to go into all these this morning. But what did these plagues accomplish? Well, they were signs to Israel. Signs to the people of Israel and assuring them of God's power and God's care. You know, the Israel lived in Goshen, which is part of Egypt. And it's interesting that some of these plagues, the plague of flies, there wasn't one fly came into Goshen. My, there were plagues of judgment upon Egypt. God was judging Pharaoh and his people, because they would not respond to his word. We see Moses confronting or facing the foe. We see Moses pronouncing the plagues. I want to go on this morning and finish. I've only about 5 minutes left, and look at Moses confronting the compromises. You see, the plagues came, and Pharaoh resisted. Sometimes he relented and said, okay, I'll let the people go. And then when the plague was taken from him, he resisted and refused to let the people go. You know, he offered compromises to Moses and Aaron, to the people of God. And you know, friends, we live in an age of compromise. We live in an age of compromise. Now, sometimes compromise is needed. Sometimes compromise is good. And sometimes it's not so good. We live in an age of political compromise. And sometimes compromises come in all different forms of life. Sometimes compromise is brought in and people seek to compromise the scriptures and compromise the church. And I know there's some maybe saying here this morning, oh, listen to him. He's living in the past. I want to tell you this morning. I'm not living in the past. I'm living in 2015. I'm not living in the past. Listen to him this morning. He's against progress. He's against change. I'm not against change. In the three churches where I was pastors, I introduced new things. But I think, friends, we need to remember that we need to always exercise spiritual wisdom and common sense. You've got to work with the people that you have. Yes, there's things we cannot compromise. We cannot compromise the gospel. The fundamentals of the faith. And we cannot compromise as far as the apostles' doctrine is concerned. Those are things we must stand for true in the Word of God. My dear friends, we live in an age of compromise. And here was Pharaoh, and he was seeking to make compromises with Moses here. In chapter 8, verse 25, he says here, "Go ye sacrifice to your God in the land." What he's saying is, you know, okay, I'll let you sacrifice, only sacrifice to your God in the land. Don't believe in Egypt. You need to stay here. That was a compromise. Stay in the world and worship God. That's what he was saying. And you know, friends, people get saved and then the devil tells them to stay in the world. And they can live the way they've always lived and still have salvation. They can do what they want. I want to tell you this, that I don't believe that. You may believe it, but I don't believe it. I believe that when salvation comes into a person's life, that a change is seen. A change is experienced within. And a change is seen in that person, in their life. My dear friends, God changes people. And he changes people always for the better. He makes a change. I used to go to the Top Hat in Lisburn. Some of you never remember the Top Hat. It was a dance hall down the street there. But when I got saved, you know, I stopped going. My dear friends, the Holy Spirit wrought a change. And we need to remember there's such a thing as separation from the world. Separation from the world. God demands his people to be a separated people. And in chapter 8 and 28, Pharaoh speaks again. And he says, "Only ye shall not go very far away." And what he's saying to them now is, don't be too serious. Stay within Egypt. What the devil is saying when you're saved, you know, okay, but you know, don't be going over the top. Don't be going over the top. No need to get too excited about it. Don't be too excited about going to prayer meetings or Bible study or about going to church too often. And one of the commentators says we have borderline believers today, some who show up now and again. My dear friends, we need dedication. I believe we need separation in our lives today, and I believe we need dedication. Dedicated. When a guy gets a big chance at one of the premiership football teams in England, he needs to dedicate himself to that, or else he'll not be too long there. And we need dedication. I wonder, are we dedicated this morning to serve the Lord and to live for the Lord? There was separation. We need dedication. In chapter 10, verse 7 to 11, he says, "Only let the men go, leave the family in Egypt. Don't be concerned about your family and your loved ones. Leave them behind, but you go. We find here that Moses says in verse 9, and Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds, we will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. Moses was not prepared to compromise. He says, we will go with our young and our old, with our sons and with our daughters, and everything we have. We're not leaving anything behind in Egypt. And dear friends, we need determination. We want to bring the whole family with us. When you get saved, you know, you want to bring the whole family with you to glory. We need to continue to pray, to seek the Lord, and have that objective in mind that we'll bring the whole family with us to glory, that we'll all be there when we gather around the throne. We need determination. Friends, we need consecration. Moses facing the foe. Facing the foe with the word of God, in the power of God, with the promises of God, with faith in God. By Moses pronouncing the plagues, he was faithful to God when God told him to pronounce these plagues. I'm sure he wasn't too popular with Pharaoh, but Moses pronounced the plagues. And Moses confronting the compromises. He wasn't prepared. To compromise with what God had showed him to do. We see him, first of all, as a reluctant servant. Now we're beginning to see him as an obedient servant. May we seek to be faithful and obedient servants. As we face the foe this week, dear friends, may we win victories and conquer the foe through our Lord Jesus Christ. And may we seek to be faithful to him in everything we are and should have.